The headlines this hour. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi hits back at his U.S. counterpart for, quote, inciting chaos, terror, and destruction in another country. The Lebanese army says Israeli gunboats violated Lebanese territorial waters several times, just days after Beirut approved the maritime deal with Israel. Thousands of people rally in the French capital, Paris, to protest against rising inflation as the country also grapples with widespread fuel shortages. Thanks for joining us. The Iranian president has denounced his U.S. counterpart for inciting chaos, terror, and destruction in Iran by voicing support for riots. Ebrahim Raisi's comment came shortly after Biden called the Iranian government oppressive for what he called a crackdown on popular protest. The U.S. president also expressed surprise at, in his own words, the courage of people and women taking to the streets. Raisi now says U.S. officials are angered whenever the Iranian nation takes an innovative and positive step, and they are thrilled to see Iran face difficulties or unrest. The president says the U.S. has played a role in many riots, acts of sabotage, and terror in the region. He cited the U.S.'s 20-year occupation of Afghanistan or its support for Israel's atrocities. Raisi says the Iranian nation knows its enemies and will prevent them from reaching their goals. Iran's foreign ministry reacting to comments by the U.S. president over the wave of riots in the country, calling them meddlesome. The spokesman said that Joe Biden is supporting rioters in the tradition of U.S. officials, a move he's described as fishing in troubled waters. Nasser Kanani says that Biden is frustrated by years of futile action against Iran, adding that his interventions and expressions of surprise won't weaken the country's resolve. Biden has called the Iranian government oppressive, expressing surprise at, using his own words, the courage of people and women taken to the streets. Kanani also stressed that Iran is strong enough not to give in to brutal sanctions and hollow threats. He said that Iranians will stand up for their independence and join together to heal wounds, inflicting another defeat on Washington. Tim Anderson is the director of the Center for Counter-Hegemonic Studies. He tells us how various U.S. administrations have done all they can to weaken Iran.
I think it's very well known by now that Washington, whatever the administration is there, whether it's Obama or Trump or Biden, is going to use all of the resources at their disposal to try and weaken, divide, undermine Iran. And every new opportunity will be seized on, basically, because, of course, we know their style of warfare these days is a lot more to do with using proxies, the proxies like the MEK, like the proxies that are in the northern Iraq, like the proxies that are used against Syria, for example, and a constant stream of propaganda to weaken or to confuse their own audiences, principally, basically. I don't think that's really confusing the Iranians, though. It's a long-standing practice of the U.S., and it's emerged in public, and they're not even embarrassed to say it now. They want to starve people, make them desperate, make them rise up against the government, because they know, as they said about Cuba 60 years ago, they said they knew that the Fidel Castro was very popular. The only way for them to try and overthrow the regime there was to make the people desperate and starve. And similarly, you recall Mike Pompeo a few years ago saying that if the Iranian people wanted to eat, they would have to comply with U.S. demands. So it's a very open, direct assault. Of course, it's illegal. It shouldn't be called sanctions. These coercive measures are illegal measures under international law. But they are specifically designed to make people desperate and try and divide people.
An investigative report by the Iranian parliament has concluded that the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini was not due to assault and battery. According to the report, the young woman was assaulted neither during her transfer to the police station nor while being held there. The findings, however, questioned the effectiveness of the first medical response that she received. The report says the crowd amassing outside of the police station delayed her transfer to the hospital. The Parliament report has called on those who jumped to conclusions about the cause of Amini's death to correct their position or to face prosecution. Says the U.S., Israel, and their followers took advantage of such hasty judgments to stir up unrest. Days ago, the Iranian coroner's office also announced that Amini's death was not due to blows to her head or any of her vital organs, but due to cerebral hypoxia and multiple organ failure. Amini died after 3 days in intensive care. Her death triggered a wave of riots in Iran. Lebanon says Israeli gunboats have violated its territorial waters several times near Ras Nakura. The Lebanese army says the gunboats intruded several hundred meters into Lebanese waters on four occasions. The army says the authorities were discussing the violations with the UN peacekeeping mission in Lebanon. The news comes 3 days after Lebanon approved the U.S.-brokered maritime deal with Israel, which allows the Arab country to conduct offshore gas production in the Mediterranean. The deal brought an end to a dispute, mainly over the Karish gas field, claimed by both sides. Hezbollah resistance movement had warned Israel against exploiting the country's offshore gas reserves before reaching an agreement with Lebanon. Mariam Saleh is a correspondent joining us from Beirut to tell us more about this incident. Well, you have a case where Lebanon has cited what Israel has done and the violations that they have committed, but Israel says that they have not done that. Where do things stand right now in terms of what has happened?
Well, there's a lot of debate going on in the Israeli enemy when it comes to the fact that this deal could actually be very Lebanon. It's something that's the first time where we see this enemy, this regime, concede to anything and make any sort of an agreement where it was forced to by the fact that we do have a Lebanese resistance, we do have a government that is also backing the resistance, and we have a president who is insisting on the fact that Lebanon has its rights and should attain them. And so this is why you see a lot of those voices within the regime trying to stress that this is not a good deal. But we do know that the Americans have given the Lebanese, if we may say, guarantees that the Israelis will sign this deal, that this is an agreeable deal. However, it seems for the Israelis that what we're seeing at today, the violations, although they are not new, this is something Lebanon has become used to. In years, we've had thousands and thousands of violations, whether in the airspace, in the land, and now we're talking about the sea. This is probably a message from the Israeli regime that although we did probably sign a deal, we are still going to violate your waters as we do violate your airspace and your lands. We had also another incident today where there was a drone that was flying and violated the airspace over the southern town of Wazani. So this is not a new issue, but when it comes to the maritime deal, we are still waiting. We even heard from Hezbollah's officials, especially Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah, stressing that we will not consider that there is a deal until it is formalized, until it is signed, until the delegation that is supposed to sign it goes to Ras al-Nakura and does sign this deal. And therefore, until then, we will be on high alert. We will be cautious, as the resistance has always been, of course, on the border. But now this is concerning the maritime deal specifically, because, as you know, Said Nasrallah has stressed that if Lebanon is not allowed to extract its own natural resources, then the Israeli regime will not be allowed to, not only in Karish, but also beyond Karish. And you have several of those energy fields where the regime is extracting natural resources. And he said that we could probably even reach to the areas of Gaza and those fields which are potentially rich in natural resources. So this is an issue that goes beyond just a few violations of hundreds of meters. I think that this is an issue that is being followed up by the Lebanese army with the UNIFIL. The UNIFIL, of course, as usual, they send their reports to the United Nations. And even the United States is aware of all of these issues. But the main issue that we are eyeing now, and we are waiting for, is to formalize this maritime deal. And if it is formalized, of course, there will be other steps in order for Lebanon to make it official. It needs to be ratified, it needs to be made official through the parliament, of course, and then you have several details in Lebanon where there are certain rules and laws in order to make sure that the revenues are not fallen are not drowned in this in the entrenched corruption that we have in the country, that this is something that is separate in a sovereign fund. So we have a lot of issues that we're looking at. But when it comes to the conflict with Israel, this deal, it does not mean that the conflict has ended. And those, therefore, technically, Lebanon and Israel remain at war.
Thank you for that. Mariam Saleh, correspondent there from Beirut. Many thanks, Mariam. Moving on, thousands of people are out on the streets in the French capital, Paris, to protest against soaring living costs and climate inaction. Protesters are also pushing against proposed pension reforms, which involve a rise in the retirement age. The demonstration has been called by left-wing political parties, backed by hundreds of associations. France has already been hit by 3 weeks of a refinery strike that has caused fuel shortages across the country. The workers are demanding wage increases to cover inflation and include a share of the huge profits made by oil companies. Several French unions have also announced a national day of strikes on Tuesday. The industrial action is expected to affect rail transport, trains, and the public sector. Political commentator John Stepling explains how the people in France are finding it difficult to get by with the ongoing cost of living crisis.
The cost of living has risen so precipitously. The gas prices are amazingly high, even in Scandinavia here. Food prices have risen far beyond anything that's actually even reported. And again, this is true even in a country like Norway. So people are reaching a point where it's not sustainable for them. And winter, of course, is coming, and the prospect of having to heat your house in the winter months, especially in northern European countries, is causing people a great deal of anxiety. And the governments of Europe have no answer for this. In the EU, Ursula von der Leyen just keeps repeating the same sort of mantra about we have to send weapons and money to Ukraine and so forth. Prices are just unrealistically high. I mean, impossible for people to survive if they stay at this level. Impossible for them to heat their homes in winter if they stay at this level. Just literally impossible.
In the UK, Prime Minister Liz Truss is insisting on her commitment to improve the country's economy as she struggles to save her premiership. In a newspaper article, Truss said it was, quote, a wrench to have to fire her friend Rishi Sunak as Chancellor of the Exchequer. She noted that the government cannot pave the way to a low-tax, high-growth economy without maintaining the confidence of the markets. Truss has been under fire after she made U-turns on two major policies over next year's budget plan. Her economic proposals adversely affected the market, with the British pound crashing to a record low and the government's repayments on borrowing pushing up. Now, some politicians, including those within her Conservative Party, are calling for her resignation. This as the UK has been dealing with a dire cost of living crisis.
We gather at a vital time for the United Kingdom. These are stormy days.
The UK Prime Minister Liz Truss may not have known what she walked into when she took over the premiership just months ago from the former Prime Minister Boris Johnson. An economy battered by COVID-19, then the Ukraine conflict, which impacted the UK's economy negatively. With runaway inflation and a cost of living crisis, she had to come up with a plan. That plan was presented by the finance minister, or exchequer at the time, Kwasi Kwarteng. But she could never have anticipated the firestorm and crisis that erupted afterwards. After several U-turns of whether or not she would go through with what was called a mini-budget plan, she was forced to finally make amendments to the plan. And what many have called a move to save herself and her job, she fired the now former finance minister, Kwasi Kwarteng.
I met the former chancellor earlier today. I was incredibly sorry to lose him.
She replaced him with Jeremy Hunt, a former health secretary and foreign secretary, who was announced as Kwarteng's successor.
It was a mistake to cut the top rate of tax at a period when we were asking everyone to make sacrifices. And it was a mistake to fly blind and not to back up the economic plans that were announced with an independent forecast from the Office for Budget Responsibility.
Truss scrapped the pledge to reverse predecessor Boris Johnson's hike of corporation tax from 19% to 25%,
The decision estimated to restore around £18 billion, or $20.1 billion, to the UK Treasury's coffers by 2026. Her explanation for scrapping the plan: markets were not ready for it.
But it is clear that parts of our mini-budget went further and faster than markets were expecting. So the way we are delivering our mission right now has to change.
The Institute of Fiscal Studies had doubts on this so-called mini-budget, basically calling into question where the money was going to come from. It said that unfunded tax cuts meant that the UK will need £60 billion in spending cuts. It also said that this would leave ministers making serious reductions in public services. This puts into question the claims made by the former Chancellor, Kwasi Kwarteng.
The government has been clear that protecting consumers is our primary focus and shapes our entire approach to this issue.
As for the 2.5% targeted growth, nonsense. Said the UK will struggle to grow at more than 0.8% on average over the next 5 years. In other words, the £45 billion cost of the mini-budget would wipe out any financial space left to the Chancellor by his predecessor, swelling Britain's debt as the share of national income for at least the next 5 years.
That is for this edition of World News. Just bye-bye for now.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, October 16th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And in the beginning, I do apologize for my rough voice. And here I truly appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Paulo Duarte from the Philippines, and Helmut Metz from Germany. So, Mizan Rahman, Paolo and Helmut, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and, of course, your program, Listeners Special. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card. And of course, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails. Here we've received an email from Bala Murali from India. Again, from India, we've received an email from Shivandapol, one of our old and regular listeners. From Brazil, we've received an email from Antonio Santos. From Canada, we have an email from Alan Willey, one of our old and regular listeners. And last but not the least is an email from Jacques Augustin from France. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And as I said, here we received an email from France from Jacques Augustin, one of our old and regular listeners. Let's see what Jacques says. Dear friends, to begin this letter, I wish to thank you for the nice EQSL card and your kind message received last week. I'm glad to tell you I could listen to your radio despite a poor signal from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. I am pleased to submit my reception report to your consideration. I hope this report will be helpful to you. And if checked and found to be correct, can you send me the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran EQSL card as verification? In the broadcast heard, I paid much attention to the news and I wish America to lift economical sanctions against Iran. I conclude this letter wishing it has pleased you. And I would be glad to tune in again to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran and looking forward to hearing from you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And thank you very much for sending this email to us, Jacques Augustin from France. You mentioned a poor signal from IRIB English Radio, but be sure that we will fix the problem. So please accept our electronic QSL card as verification. Jacques Augustin, we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Wish you all the best. And from Brazil, we've received an email from Antonio Santos. Antonio Santos says, hello, friends. Greetings from Brazil. My name is Antonio Santos and I live in Sao Paulo. I'm sending you a reception report and I would like to get a paper QSL card by post from your radio. Special thanks. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Antonio Santos from Brazil. As you may know, sending any material, including paper QSL card on behalf of IRIB English Radio, is not possible in the time of pandemic. So for the time being, before this virus is eradicated all over the world, please accept our electronic QSL card. Wish you all the best. Welcome back. Bala Murali from India has sent us a message, a piece of email saying, "Dear staff, I'm writing to you after a long time. I hope you would be fine. I like your programs very much and your website too. And I especially like your news, photo galleries and videos. And I want your QSL card if possible. Thank you." Salam and warm greetings to you, Bala Murali from India. And please accept our warm gratitudes and appreciations to you for writing this email. And thank you for your compliments. It shows your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and listeners special. As for your request about sending you a paper QSL card, as you may know, it's not possible. I mean, sending any material, including paper QSL card on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our great listeners around the world is not possible in the time of pandemic. So for the time being, please accept our eQSL card and or, you know, electronic QSL card as verification. We wish you all the best, Bala Murali from India. Thank you. And from Canada, we've received an email from Alan Vili. Alan Vili from Canada says, "Dear staff, once again, hello from Newfoundland, Canada. Here is another set of reception reports attached of IRIB shortwave broadcast as monitored here in Newfoundland during the past few weeks. I hope it would be of your help. With best regards from Canada." First of all, salam and greetings to you, Alan Willie from Canada, and please accept our appreciations to you for this email, for this great message. We wish you all the best. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Alan Willie from Canada. Welcome back, and here we have another email from India from Shivanda Paul, one of our old and regular listeners. Let's see what Shivanda says. "Dear friends, greetings from India. I am Shivanda Paul, and I am from India. I am a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. Now, your reception is moderate, signal strength is good, but slight noise and overall reception is moderate. My hobby is radio, listening to the radio and collecting stamps, coin, QSL cards, program schedule, etc. Please send QSL card and other souvenir items of Iran. Thank you." Salam and warm greetings to you, Shivanda Paul from India, one of our old and regular listeners. Thank you for letting us know your views about the quality of our programs. As you said, the signal strength is good, but a slight noise and overall reception is moderate. Thank you for reflecting on that. And as your request for sending you paper QSL cards and souvenir items of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting, unfortunately, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is not possible in the time of pandemic. So for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card. Thank you. Now, dear listeners, here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with us and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a verse in the Quran that kind of tells us what our responsibility is to our Prophet. We've been blessed by being part of his ummah. What's our responsibility to our Prophet? This is Surah 33 and verse number 21. Allah says this, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Definitely, certainly, truly for you, in Rasulullah is a beautiful example. We as believers, our responsibility, Allah favored us with this prophet and being part of his ummah, is to take him as an example in every part of our lives. What were the goals of Rasulullah? What was he trying to do? How did he live? If we want to take him as that beautiful example, that excellent example, the idea is that in every area of our life, that we will take him as a role model and a leader. We'll try to implement his goals. Now, the Islam that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he brought for us is the same Islam of all of the Anbiya. Of course, it's the most complete, most perfect and final version of Islam. In the Islam of Rasulullah, he taught us that Islam is not just a personal relationship between us and God. That's one part of it. And in the most beautiful way, the ibadah of Rasulullah is something else. He's an example for us in that. But it wasn't only that. Islam, as is, delivered by Rasulullah, also had social responsibilities. I'm going to mention some of the verses of the Quran. Also political responsibilities. Our Prophet had a global vision. But brothers and sisters, this wasn't only our Prophet. One of the things we want to introduce to the world is the concept of divine leadership. Right? The Anbiya were imams. Our Prophet was an imam. The Anbiya were imams of their time. I want to mention a verse of the Holy Quran where Allah says this, Surah 21 and verse number 73. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. And we made them, those prophets, أَئِمَّةً. They were leaders. People were supposed to refer to divine leadership. They're supposed to be following the prophet of that time. Another place in the Quran, Surah Nisa, verse number 62, God says this, وَمَا أَرَسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ. We sent no Rasul, no messenger, illa liyuta'a bi'idhnillah, except that he be obeyed by the permission of Allah. Divine leadership is the solution to all that ails mankind. In our Prophet, his mission was divine and global. So he provided us with that solution, the idea that Islam gave us direction in every single area of our lives. Now, I promise that inshallah today, we'd like to talk a little bit about the vision of our Prophet, because he was a visionary. Our Prophet could see the forest from the trees. He could see the problems that you and I would be facing. And that message that he delivered had information that we would need later on in life. You see, if we look at the text of Islam, we'll see even in the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, encouragement to be a visionary, even when it comes to our own spirituality. I want to mention just two of the du'a of Ahlul Bayt before we go over the example of just one example of that leadership of the Prophet and what he did for us, knowing what we would need. One example of this is a du'a that we make. Inshallah, we're making this du'a right now for when we're older. Right? A visionary, someone who can see 10 years down the line, 50 years down the line, you'll need this. What du'a should I be making right now while I'm young? The du'a, part of the du'a is this. وَجْعَلْ سَمْعِي وَبَصَرِي الْوَارِثَيْنِ مِنِّي. One of the lines of the du'a. Oh Allah, make my faculties, my hearing, and my vision, make them inherit me. We're learning from the Ahlul Bayt to think about when we're a lot older. We're going to need our faculties. We're praying to Allah that I keep my faculties until that time. It's hard enough, it's difficult enough to be older, to be vulnerable. But I want to have my vision and my hearing at that time. Okay? Thinking of way in the future, planning for that. I'll give you another beautiful one of the du'a of the Ahlul Bayt, but it starts with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Again, the imam thinking about the future, what we'll need later on. He says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali, waj'al awsa'a rizqika alayya idha kabirt. Oh Allah, it's a request from God. He says, please grant me the most expansive of your rizq, make me most financially set and leaving in ease as far as financially, he says, when I'm older. Through life, there's ups and downs, right? Everybody goes through. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Everybody can go through financial difficulties at some time. But if I were to think about it, when would I want to be at ease? Would I want to be, if I was going to face a test, would I want to face it when I'm young and strong or when I'm most vulnerable and now I'm also poverty stricken? Ideally, the person would want when I'm older, when I'm more vulnerable. Right now I'm young, I'm strong, I'll figure it out, whatever it is. I'd want to be set to be, the Ahlul Bayt have trained us to be in this way. They've also given us guidance on how to experience this. Let's say that I'm somebody who would like that inshallah is true. People go through ups and downs. And it might happen to me. It might happen to you. But I'd like it that this dua of the imam be answered for me. What should I do? Is there a way of me experiencing God's goodness in this way? This is now a story from Imam Qadhim. Please send a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So remember, what we're trying to experience God's best. I want God's most expansive rizq. I can go through difficulties when I'm young. Everybody goes through difficulties. But I'd like that when I'm older, I'm set. How? The Imam tells us that there was a man, a righteous man, among the children of Bani Israel. A very righteous man, a pious man, a man of God. And this righteous man had a righteous spouse. One day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a message to this man. In the words of the hadith, it says, Ar-Rajul. So maybe it was in the dream he saw a man, maybe one of the malaika, whatever it was, he was told. He said, you're going to live this long, however many years, that's your time on this earth. And the other thing is that you're going to have half of your life in ease and half of your life in difficulty. Good news, you get to choose which half. Do you want to have ease at first and then figure it out later? Or do you want to have the difficulty now while you're young, while you're strong, but inshallah, in the end of your life, have ease? The man in his dream, he told the person, the messenger, he says that I've got a righteous wife. She's my partner in life. I'd like to talk to her, get her advice, and then I'll come back to you. I'll get back to you. The angel, whoever it was, gave him that permission. He woke up from his dream. He shared what he had learned in the dream with his wife. That, look, I'm only going to be alive until, let's say, 80 years. We don't usually live till we're 200. 80 years, for instance. And I can choose, though. Either I take the first half in ease, or I take the second half in ease. The wife said this. She said, I think we should ask God to have the first half in ease. She said, maybe we'll do the right thing during the first half and we'll experience the second half with ease also. So now he had a game plan. He went to sleep. Again, he was visited. And what's the answer now? The man, without going into details, said, I want to have the first half with ease. Okay. Imam Qadhim says, after this, basically the man had the Midas touch. Things were good. Every type of business he would want to open up, alhamdulillah, working. Things are going well. I mean, once you're touched by God, everything opens. And the Imam said that his wife was right there behind him. She was like, give to the poor, take care of the needy. Your cousin needs some help, your neighbor. And so this man spent the first half of his life, he was in ease, but while he had wealth, he spent it in the way of God. Until he finally came to the second half of his life. And again, he was visited. This time when he was visited, listen to the words of the person sent on behalf of Allah. Inna Allah qad shakara laka dhalik. God appreciates you did the right thing in the first half. وَلَكَ تَمَامِ عُمْرِكَ سَعَةً مِثْلُ مَا مَضَى. The favor from Allah, because God's going to outdo you. If you do good for Him, He'll outdo you. The favor from Allah is the rest of your life will also be spent in ease. So that's a practical way for us to experience Allah's best.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim, Kareem, Azeem, Aleem, Haleem, Hakeem, Mateen.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
In the limelight.
climate emergency is just a rhetoric by Western regimes. This claim is evidenced by these regimes' disregard for the climate emergency and warnings against fossil fuel exploration. In a new move, the UK has opened up a new licensing round to allow oil and gas companies to explore for fossil fuels in the North Sea despite threats of a legal battle from climate campaigners. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. The website of Common Dreams wrote, climate campaigners have recently condemned the UK's announcement that it will open up a new licensing round for oil and gas fields in the North Sea, saying the decision signifies the Conservative government's blatant disregard for the climate emergency and warnings against fossil fuel exploration from energy experts and scientists. Claiming new oil and gas drilling will not undermine the country's stated plan to cut its carbon emissions to net zero by 2050. The North Sea Transition Authority, NSTA, said it will issue up to 100 licenses for nearly 900 exploration areas, including several that are known to contain hydrocarbons. In response to Climate Minister Graham Stewart's claim that the plan is actually good for the environment because using fossil fuels in the North Sea negates the need for foreign gas, friends of the SFOE Scotland accused the UK government of sticking two fingers up to climate scientists and energy experts. By encouraging greedy fossil fuel companies to keep looking for more fossil fuels, the UK government is denying the reality of the climate emergency, said Freya Atchison, an oil and gas campaigner for the group, adding, instead of new fossil fuels, we urgently need a transition to an energy system powered by renewables and a mass rollout of energy efficiency measures to reduce energy demand. With the cost of living skyrocketing due to the volatile prices of oil and gas, it's obvious that the UK current energy system is completely unfit for purpose, serving only to make oil company bosses and shareholders richer, while everyone else loses out, the campaigner said. The crisis in Eastern Europe has sent energy prices soaring for households across Europe, but the climate action campaign Paid to Pollute warned that licensing oil and gas fields in the North Sea will do nothing to alleviate the cost of living crisis. The plan is moving forward under the pretext of energy security, a campaigner for the group said in a video posted to social media, but another North Sea licensing round won't deliver UK energy security. He continued, the North Sea is an aging and oil-heavy basin. The bald truth? The UK has burnt most of its gas. Any new gas that is found won't be produced for years and years. As the UK Committee on Climate Change said earlier this year, it takes an average of about 28 years for oil and gas production to begin from the time an exploration license is issued. UK Green Party co-leader Adrian Ramsay called the news of the latest licensing round deeply distressing. The government's claim that burning ever more fossil fuels from the North Sea will help the UK meet its international obligations to become net zero by 2050 has no connection to reality, Ramsay said on social media. The new licenses are being offered nearly a year after grassroots campaigners were credited with pressuring Shell Oil to put out of a plan to drill in the proposed Cambo oil field in the North Sea off the coast of Scotland's Shetland Islands. FOE Scotland called on Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, who opposed the Cambo proposal, to stand up to the NSTA's reckless plans to expand fossil fuels in the North Sea. A campaigner said these announcements risk locking us into a climate-destroying energy system for decades to come. Entrenching reliance on this volatile energy in places like Aberdeen and leaving people all across Scotland exposed to rocketing energy bills.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Virtues of the Believers, Friday the 3rd of Ramadan, 1394, the 20th of September, 1974. Tawakkul means that in every situation you rely on Allah and place your hopes in Him. Have you seen how when some people face difficulties in life, when they go through hardship and they exhaust every visible means at their disposal to rectify their situation without success, what do? Have you seen or heard this? They will do one of a few things. Either they will surrender, when nothing they do seems to work, or they will resign themselves to fate, or they will take the path of least resistance. They won't give up, but in practice they will do whatever is easiest. Others end their own lives. For example, someone gains power in a country and little by little, other powers wear him down. Every day, somewhere in his dominion, there is some clamor against him. Then when he has no choices left, when he is utterly humiliated, tired and dejected, he takes his own life. He ends it. These are the routes open to someone when they don't have Allah and find themselves in a blind alley. When they reach a dead end and they see that they have nowhere left to turn, no escape, these people will take one of three options. They will either surrender to fate, take the path of least resistance, or they will kill themselves. However, for someone who believes in Allah and find themselves at a dead end, these options are not available to them. Their dignity won't let them follow these paths. But there is one door that is always open to them. And what door is that? Placing their trust in Allah. They will say, "This is a dead end, but the Allah I know makes doors out of dead ends." What is a dead end? For Allah, there are no dead ends for us. In Allah's hands, every dead end is a door. There is always a way.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Is there a dead end worse than the Battle of Uhud? The few soldiers of Islam, preoccupied with the pursuit of spoils on the battlefield, forgot to guard the flanks. Because of the heedlessness of a few soldiers, the Quraysh were able to outflank the Muslims, who had laid down their swords and dismounted their horses to collect spoils. Suddenly, they see themselves surrounded by the enemy on all sides, attacking them. Now, it's clear what an unarmed, unprepared soldier will do in this situation, isn't it? He runs. He runs for his life. Shaitan calls out through the voice of a wicked person that the Prophet has been slain. It's obvious, Shaitan is always doing this. Shaitan's plans are clear and his helpers are clear. He is always putting doubts in people's minds. He is always sapping their morale, telling them they failed, that the Prophet has died. In this crisis, in this dead end, what does a faithful person who relies on Allah do? Is there a dead end greater than this? There is no way out. Your own soldiers have thrown down their weapons and fled. The enemies have surrounded you on all sides. No one is coming to your aid. But there is still a way out, to put your trust in Allah, to have hope.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. Guiding me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You've guided me from all.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.